Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the menu? I don't think so. It's Off Menu.
Oh, very nice, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off Menu podcast.
It's very exciting. This is where we have a very special guest on and we get them to say their dream meal to us.
Their favourite ever. Starter, main course, dessert, side and drink.
Yes, but not necessarily in that order. Imagine the order you might have it. In a meal, say. That's the order that we do it.
We leave the drink pretty late.
We do leave the drink really late, don't we?
Pretty thirsty.
This week's guest is the wonderful Tom Allen.
Oh, the wonderful Tom Allen. What a guy.
Tom Allen, stand-up comedian, but you may know him as a presenter, funny presenter on things like the Bake Off Extra Slice or Bake Off The Professionals.
Yeah, very excited.
And he's like one of the main ones on that.
I guess I'd just be, if I had his job, I'd just be hanging around for food. I'd forget all my lines. I'd just be so busy looking at all the pastries, wanting to eat all the food.
They wouldn't give you any lines, man. They'd just let you off and improvise and eat the food. And
let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah, there's no point trying to give him lines. He'll try and eat the script.
That is true. But hey, here's a line for you. There is a secret ingredient, and if Tom Allen chooses it, he's getting kicked out of the restaurant. And this week it is liver.
Right. I know you want to make it liver. And that's fine. We can make it liver.
I hate it.
We don't have to agree that we both hate things. Mm. I love liver.
Oh, he's a liver lover.
I'm a liver lover.
I'm a liver hater. But we're friends.
That's a good sitcom.
Yeah.
I'm a liver lover as I live and breathe. I love it.
Oh, man. I do not love it at all.
Lamb's liver. Chicken livers.
No.
Get in my mouth. Chicken livers. Absolutely. Chicken liver in a bolognese sauce. You've never tasted such depth of flavour.
Okay, well, maybe if you did a chicken... I've never had that before.
Yeah.
Maybe chicken liver in a bolognese sauce, it would just make it real thick.
Yeah, it thickens it up, it gives it depth of flavour, it gives it a more irony taste.
Yeah, well, I'll be open to that, but I'm thinking about the kind of liver that I've had in my life, and it's all been disgusting. I don't like the texture of it.
You're thinking of overcooked lamb's liver, cooked till it's grey.
Yeah.
Right, if Tom...
Should we specify that?
If Tom picks lamb's liver cooked till it's grey, he's out of the restaurant.
Yeah, and I... Joe, you know what? I'm not going to... No ifs or buts or maybes. He is out of this restaurant if he cooks overcooked lamb's liver till it's grey.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that he won't, but let's hear if he goes for any liver. But apart from that, I'm very excited to hear the menu of Tom Allen. Tom, welcome to the Dream Restaurant.
Tom Allen.
Thank you. Oh,
How kind.
Welcome. I'm It's me appearing out of my lamp, Tom.
Oh, I assume that was some sort of firework pyrotechnic thing you put on for me.
It was for you as well.
Yeah. As I walked into
the restaurant. It was for you, but like also I'm a genie.
In a bottle?
In a lamp, actually.
Oh.
Although, quite a traditional genie.
Now you said genie in a bottle, you think that's probably more...
It's more
food and drink, isn't it?
Oh, well, I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah.
But also a lamp can be delicious for lighting your food.
Oh, yeah, you just pour some oil on your food and light it?
Yes, and also on salads.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're thinking of a...
Different sorts of oil.
Yeah, different sorts of oil.
The genie law has changed quite a lot. I mean, he could be in a bottle today because previously you have been in a gravy boat as well, if you remember.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Of course I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've always been jumping out of receptacles?
Yeah, always just jumped out of a receptacle.
Yeah.
You name it, I've jumped out of it.
What are your thoughts on the word restaurant? Would you say restaurant? Or I've taken to saying restaurant, which I
You do say restaurant in quite a fancy way, James.
Restaurant. Yeah. Maybe I do. Actually, I've never thought about how I say it, but then someone did a tweet the other day about how I say it, and I don't know.
Imagine if someone
said... I'm overthinking it now.
Imagine if someone said instead of menu, Mina...
Mina.
Can I see the Mina, please?
You'd still understand what they meant, though, if someone said, "Could I see the Mina, please?" You'd be like, "Okay."
If you said that, Ed, I would be.
Yeah.
I would be very much appalled.
You'd pick me up on it, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Yeah, the Mina.
That would be the main reason I'd taken you out to dinner.
Right, guys, what are we going to do about this? Ed says Mina instead of menu, right? Someone's going to have to take him out for dinner and bring it up in context.
Listen, we've been meaning to talk to you about this.
To take him somewhere where you know the waiting staff are quite rude.
Yeah.
They will pick him up.
They're not going to put up with it.
What?
I had an experience where I went into Cote Brasserie, which is actually one of my favourite of the high street chains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was going there on a date, and we hadn't booked, and I went in there with this guy, and the head waiter said, "Sorry, lads, we haven't got any room." And I still now, to this day, am furious about the fact that he referred to me as one half of lads. I think I may have actually at the time said, "I'm not a lad." But thank you very much.
This is Cote Brasserie. Yeah.
If I come to Cote Brasserie for one thing...
Excuse me.
Yeah. Put a French accent on for crying out loud. Yeah.
Lads do not go to Cote Brasserie.
No lads are going to Cote Brasserie.
I was so insulted by it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't thought about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And suddenly, I'm appalled. I'm appalled again. It was maybe 4 years ago.
I mean, and you do like... I mean, I know that you're partial to chains. I know you're the biggest Carlucho's fan that I know.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love it up the Lynch. And to me, the hallmark of a successful urban regeneration programme is the opening of a Lynch in some sort of pedestrianised town square.
Yes.
Even if it is one fabricated internally out of a shopping centre.
So you love a Lynch, you love a coat.
Yeah, love it.
Love fur. And well, of course you pronounced it correctly.
Of course. Thank you. I did my research before I went there.
I think that's one of my main annoying ticks that when people say faux, I say it's pronounced fur. And then they look at me like they annoyed they came out for a meal with me.
Mm. Yeah. Especially when you then say, "Can I see the Mina?"
It's pronounced fur, and it's the best thing on this Mina.
I never like directly correct people, but I'm one of the annoying people who like they go, "Oh, I love pho." It's like, "Oh yeah, there's a really good pho place down at there."
I'm that person.
Yeah. So passive aggressive.
Much worse. And they're like, "We both know what's happened here."
Mm. I don't know if I'm in tune with a lot of your listeners when I say this, but I'm delighted at the expansion of the Ivy Brasseries, which is their national network at the moment. I'm really enjoying that.
Have they maintained quality across the branches?
I would say I've had very good experiences. I've largely sat at the bar, which has allowed me to develop a rapport, which I say in the same way I'd say restaurant, not pronouncing the T at the end. And with the staff, sometimes they're quite new, so I can actually train them.
Right, yeah,
because you know the house style.
Because I know the house style. Yeah. I know where I know where the branded plate should sit on the setting, and I feel like that's
How many branches of the Ivory Brasserie chain have you been to?
Firstly, you just said Ivory Brasserie.
The Ivory Brasserie.
Oh, you did. You were aware of it. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I didn't pick up on your joke. I would say upwards of 5 places now.
Excellent. Well, yeah. There you go.
How important is good service to you?
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's 11. I hate it when people do that.
Would you like still a sparkling water to start?
I would actually have sparkling, please, because I fancy myself as a continental European.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Have you always fancied yourself as a continental European?
Ever since I can remember. I always liked the idea of some sort of town square living. I've always wanted a Juliet balcony. Yeah. People don't know that about me, but I've always wanted that. Maybe some sort of hardwood floor.
What do you imagine when you imagine the balcony? What do you imagine doing? Like, what, how does it factor into your day?
First thing in the morning, I open it and then look out across the square.
Yeah.
As the warm breeze.
Do you shout like, good morning?
Yes,
and then some
Oliver.
Pigeons. Yeah. Some pigeons fly away.
Oh, yes, maybe in a dramatic way. Yeah. If it's shutters as well, flinging open shutters.
Are you wearing a sort of long nightgown situation?
Yes, but in a sort of loose European way.
Yeah, okay,
not in an uptight British way.
Not Scrooge.
Not Scrooge.
No. On Christmas Day, would you look out the balcony and ask a young boy what day it is?
I think that's frowned upon these days.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So sparkling water.
I've gone for sparkling water, but you know what? Actually, I don't really like it, but I have it. Like a lot of things.
Okay.
Yeah. It's important to show.
It's all for show. You want people to think, Tom's got bubbly money.
I obviously want people to think that at all times. And I think going to a restaurant is all about pageantry, isn't it? The moment you walk into the restaurant, you want people to be watching.
Everyone's looking at you.
Everyone's looking at
you. They're waiting for your water order.
They're going to judge me on the water order.
So you wouldn't have sparkling at home?
No. What sort of spendthrift skylark do you think I am?
I can imagine you walking into a restaurant with like your jacket over your shoulders.
Yes.
Not with your arms through, but just like that. Yes. And almost like surveying the restaurant and just like pushing your jacket off of your shoulders.
Onto the floor.
Expecting someone to be there.
To catch it.
Just looking at it like that. As the camera just zooms in on you.
Oh, there's a camera?
Yeah, well,
don't you go to restaurants with a camera?
No.
Can imagine Tom in a film.
It's a film as well.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is a film.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it's with a very, very method actor who insists that I... method director who insists that I live...
Yeah.
Live the whole experience.
Yeah, so film your whole life. Yeah.
You don't cast anyone who's not... Yeah. That's not their life anyway.
Yeah, the audition is... Yeah. Is this your life? Great.
Pop it up his old bread, Tom! Pop it up his old bread!
Okay. I'm going to mention him again, and I'm sorry to keep going back to it. Jamie Oliver once said on one of his programmes, that poppadoms are often I see it all as a wonderful narrative. Poppadoms.
Sorry, I completely not noticed it until I had...
his marvellous story, the story of... the story of how to live like Jamie Oliver. Said that often poppadoms are used to add texture to food. They're not some sort of crisps and dips thing. This is what he said. I don't know if this is true or not, but I went with it. I think I have heard it from other sources. But I like both. But I think I'll go for bread on this occasion, preferably sourdough. But if it comes in a basket and it's presented to me by somebody asking, have you been in a Harvester restaurant before? Then I will also enjoy that too. But I'll go for poppy seeds.
Harvester, did you say?
Harvester restaurant.
Are you a Harvester fan?
I love the Harvester.
Really?
Well, to be honest, I haven't been for probably 20 years. But the memory is so vivid.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. The first time I had a flame-grilled rack of ribs, I thought I was truly alive.
Tom, guess how many steps from my front door to a Harvester?
It's a difficult one to guess, isn't it? 12.
Oh, no, you're going pretty low, actually.
I think you knew that.
Yeah. What?
I'll get there in, like, a minute.
A minute?
Yeah.
So 5 miles an hour, walking speed.
It's pretty close. Okay. I've never been in it.
I didn't even know there were Harvesters anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Let alone near you.
Yeah, right near me. You came around the other day.
Yeah, but I didn't go to the Harvest, though. You think I popped in for a prawn cocktail before I came over?
They don't do things like that, do they? At the Harvest, do they do a prawn cocktail?
You tell me.
Well, I always remember it. You had the salad bar as a starter.
Yeah.
And then you had a main course of mainly barbecued meat and chips.
A salad bar is what I think of. When I think of a Harvest, I think of the salad bar.
Yeah, croutons. Mm.
And that's about it. I don't really know about it. What else is... There's a Harvester in Kedron. I know that much. And I have been there. But I can't remember what I've had to eat.
Oh, I know the Harvest you're talking about, by the way.
Do you?
I think so, yeah. I go past it quite often.
Have you been in there?
No. I think it's where my dad might have proposed to my mum. It wasn't a Harvester at the time.
The Harvester in Kedron?
No, the one near your house.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. That was really exciting for a second there.
Yeah. There's no connection to Kedron.
Your dad proposed to your mum... In a Harvester?
No, it was before it became a Harvester, Ed.
On the former site where a Harvester now stands?
Yeah.
What was it before it was a Harvester?
I assume it was a pub, independently owned, as things were in those halcyon days.
Yeah. So you want Harvester bread?
No, I just said if it was there. You didn't specify what sort of restaurant
but this
we were
is,
in.
This is a dream restaurant. You can pick whatever you want from wherever in the world you want. The best bread you've ever had in your life.
The best bread you've had in your whole life.
Okay, I did read the text message. Another bit of skim reading has really not paid off for me today. To the listener, I was half an hour, 36 minutes late. Because I did not read the text, even though I responded to the text that clearly said two. I thought, in my mind, I was convinced it was
and you
three.
Responded with... Great, see you at 2.
Yeah. Do you know why I responded as I woke up? I do that today because I had a late finish last night, so I slept in. Because I have to get 9 hours, and I have to shower for half an hour.
Is that
you have to have 9 hours sleep?
Yeah.
And you have to shower for half an hour?
I don't have to have that long, but as long as possible. I can't be rushed.
Yeah.
I cannot be rushed.
I like to be in the shower for a long time.
Have it's a good old think.
Yeah.
Have a good old think.
So, the dream bread. Restaurant. I walk in. Do you know what I like? Crispy sourdough bread.
Crispy sourdough bread.
And a small dish of butter, which has now got some salt in the top.
Yes.
Or I also enjoy the formality of sometimes, again, you mainly find this on continental Europe, a small silver dome over a dish.
That's not a presentational flair.
A little bit of presentational
flair. Would you like the waiter to take off the dome to present the butter?
Yes, and to make eye contact with the other waiters as he removes the other domes of butter.
They all look at each other as they lift off the separate domes on different tables.
Yes, exactly. It's very dramatic. And then they do some sort of spin. And then they prop themselves up on a trolley that happens to be passing. And they do a sort of high kick with both legs.
Love it. That's all going to happen for you, Tom.
And they walk into the kitchen through the indoor and then out through the outdoor. There's a lot of swinging of doors. Maybe an angry chef comes out at one point. What's going on in my kitchen? Very minimal experience for the diners. They're just enjoying it all.
Was there somewhere where you had the best sourdough bread you've ever had?
I think it was in the Dean Street townhouse.
So they've got amazing sourdough bread at the Dean Street townhouse.
Yeah, they do. To the extent that you might be tempted to go, oh, have you got any more? But you're a fool if you do that.
Yeah.
Because you're filling up on bread.
Let's move on to your starter, Tom.
Okay.
We really get into the big leagues now. I wonder what's going to be. We've only mentioned a lot of chains.
Yeah.
A lot of places that you like. Harvester. The Looch.
The Looch, thank you.
where's this one coming from?
Okay, so I'm 17 years old. I've taken the day off school because I've told the school I'm going to go and look at university in Exeter. What I'm actually doing is I'm truanting with my next door neighbours, Jean and Dennis, and my mum and dad.
Hold on, Jean and Dennis?
Yes.
How old are they?
About 90 at the moment.
90?
So, when
Dennis
you were 17...
Dennis is 90, Jean is a bit...
When you were 17, you were truanting. How old were they at the time?
Early 70s.
You were truanting with a couple in their elderly 70s.
60s, 70s, yeah.
Jean and Dennis.
Jean and Dennis from the store.
Yeah.
Tom.
I don't see what's so funny
about
this.
You've got to know what details in the stories need expanded on and aren't as normal as you think. I was truanting with my neighbours, Jean and Dennis.
I don't think that's truanting.
What is it?
Well, going away with some responsible adults.
Mm, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I guess were they like, you know, do you want to bunk off? Let's bunk off school.
They came around the school gate.
Yeah.
No, it was arranged with my mum and dad, who were coming as well.
So they were there as well?
Yeah, they were also part
of this. Why did you lie to the school?
Because I was embarrassed to say, please can I have a day off so I can go out to lunch? So I said, I'm going to go to Exeter University to have a look round on the open day, knowing full well I had no intention of going all that way to university. No. Didn't even want to go to university by that point, but I was prepared to use it. So I never went to university.
So the full gang?
There's five of us, yeah. Jean, Dennis, Mum, Dad, me.
The Truants.
The Truants.
The Truants.
Absconding. Not only from the school, but from the country.
Yeah.
From the country?
Because we were going to France. We got up very early. We got in the car. I think my dad may have borrowed a car at this point from his friend. So it was slightly bigger. We went down, we got the early ferry.
Yeah.
On which we had a croissant, which to me at this point was extremely, one might say impossibly glamorous.
Yeah.
Then we arrived in Calais, right? We then went to a supermarché.
What a truant day.
This is the best truant thing.
Yeah, the most time. Yeah. Most people do truant. Yeah. They're like, you know, they go down like a car park and throw rocks at cars and stuff, or like they hang around smoking with their mates. You guys went to France with Jean and Dennis.
You learnt the word supermarché. You did more schoolwork on your truant day than you would have done at school.
I wasn't even doing A-level French. Do you know what I mean? Very, very dedicated. We went to the supermarché. We stocked up on French produce.
Mm-hmm.
Wines. And then we went for lunch at a restaurant which I believe still stands, called La Chanel. The Channel. Right on the harbour side.
Yes.
En France. En Calais. À Calais? Dans le Calais.
Yeah. Were you a truant in?
Oui, truant. Truant, the restaurant.
With Jean and Denis.
Avec Jean. And Denis. Do you know what? Dennis has only got one N. So he is Denis.
He is Denis. Yeah.
Denis. And we went in there, right? Dennis speaks a bit of French because he went motorbiking around France after the end of the Second World War.
Of course.
Yes. A little victory lap.
A victory lap. On a motorbike. And so he speaks a bit French. And we went in there. And it was a classically formal French restaurant. Mm. Have you ever been to one like that, James? I think you have, because I think your parents went to France.
Really formal one. I don't think I have been to a really formal French restaurant.
Ed Gamble, have you been?
I feel like I have been.
They're sort of like high back chairs.
Yes.
Very crisp white linen. Mm-hmm. A great formality of the service, which is an easy elegance about it.
Yeah.
Sit down in the window.
Mm.
I didn't know what to make of it. I was like, I've never been in a restaurant like this before.
Yeah.
An upholstered chair like it, I'd never been in.
Yeah.
And then your teacher stormed in. Tom Allen! Get back into class! I can't believe this!
I'm about to get a ferry here!
We followed you!
I hope you're happy with yourself!
And I was dragged back. No. Dennis ordered a Gewürztraminer. Because it's Alsace, it's an Alsace wine. And it's French. Not Gewürztraminer. Because Alsace, of course, very contentious area, if you know Second World War. And,
which Dennis did, of course.
Which was Dennis did. And Gewürztraminer, delicious wine. And I was ordered the Fruits de Mer. Have you ever had the Fruits de Mer? Fruits of the Sea, if you
Fruits
will.
Of the Sea.
If you will.
Seafood.
If you want to be unbearably plebeian.
I'm just, for our listener who might not have had Fruits de Mer before.
Fruits de Mer.
Tom had Fruits de Mer avec Jean and Denis when he was truanting from école.
De l'école, oui. I feel like you did A-level French, Ed.
No, I didn't. I did French to Whitley E-level, which what? Is like in
what?
One in between GCSE and A-level. So what we had to do at our school was do GCSE French a year early, and then we got a chance to do like a diploma level French past GCSE or take Russian.
Ed!
And I took E-level French.
What are you talking about? What? E-level?
E-level, that's
I think
like
it was E-level, yeah.
I've got my E-levels.
I did, yeah, GCSE French, and then the year after that when everyone else in our age group was taking GCSE French, we took an extra level of French.
Hmm.
You both seem quite angry about this.
No, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel. Okay. Well,
I didn't do French. I was too busy truanting in Belgium.
Where they speak Flemish.
Yeah. Very good at Flemish.
Tom, what was on the... Was it like a platter of different seafoods?
Yeah, and the best bit for me was the oysters, which I'd never had before.
Oh.
And I'd always fancied myself as somebody who would like oysters. And you know what? I was correct.
You know.
I really loved them. Some people, they make me feel sick.
I love them.
I love them. And I had one with shallot vinegar, mm-hmm. had one with just lemon juice, and had one with Tabasco. And I loved all of them equally. And I still think about that moment of having oysters straight, like, in your gob, taste of the sea.
Yeah.
And I think because I was so... You know when you try something when you're a small child and you feel sort of proud of yourself if you, like... Did you get that?
Yeah.
Was that a fussy eater as a child?
I wasn't a fussy eater, but, like, I definitely, when I would, like, try something new, that, like... I think my parents would, you know... Try and encourage that. You feel like you're a bit of a grown-up.
Yes.
She would, like, try something new that you wouldn't normally try.
I definitely felt proud of myself as a child for not being one of the fussy kids, because you see all your friends who are, like, really fussy. They don't eat that. They don't like that. They only eat this. And I'd be like, that's not me. I eat everything.
Yeah.
Even to the point I remember being at, I think it was at a wedding, and they were, like, when I was probably 7 or 8, and they had kids' food. They had food for the kids, so they had the full spread for the adults, like poached salmon, I remember, was on there. And then they had the kids' food, which was like fish fingers, chicken dippers, oven chips.
No way.
And I remember my mum had to go and say, can he have the adults' food, because he's not going to eat this. Can he have a bit of poached salmon?
Because
most precocious 8-year-old you've ever met in your life.
And I applaud it.
Lauren Harry's walking around.
I always felt like I was praised when I tried something new and I liked it. And I think even at the age of 17, I still had a bit of that. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Oysters, what are we talking? Straight down, one bite?
One bite
and down.
I think the first one it might have been straight down, which is actually not the way you should eat them.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, you're wasting it.
Yeah, and I think they're also still alive.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
I think they're still alive because they're just out of a shell. They're like a... They're what are they?
I feel more weird about biting them.
Well,
I'd rather just get them straight down and start...
What, and then have them live in your tummy forever?
Is that what happens, Tom?
Yeah.
They live in your tummy forever?
Forever.
Oh. Do they cling on? What happens if you... Are they really alive?
I don't know. You hear rumours.
Well, I'll tell you what I feel bad about if they are alive. Splashing loads of vinegar on their face.
Oh, yeah.
Tabasco in the eyes. You may as well just spray it with mace and then throw it in the bin.
Some people do that. That is a traditional...
I have a feeling that the day you truanted from school, they were learning if oysters are alive or not.
Yeah.
You got
the cruel irony of that.
So just so you know, kids, they are not alive when you eat them. Please don't ever go through life with that in your head. It's very important that we learn this now.
It's always my favourite assembly to deliver during the year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Anyway, I'm glad you're all here today. Bar one. No, they say, I'm glad you're all here. And then they'll be like... Alan, wake up! And at the end, there's like a snoring tape machine.
Yeah. Was it just oysters on the platter?
No, there were langoustines and I think some sort of whelks and cockles.
Whelks.
And some other sort of prawns as well. Yeah, like other ambitious seafood.
So how big was this?
I mean, the thing about it is that's really exciting is that it doesn't matter what's on it, really. It's the fact that, who's having the Freedom Air? They put down a stand and they put this massive dish on top of it. And actually, I don't think I've ever had it since. So I think in my mind, it's too... Even for me, it's too flamboyant.
It's almost like it's like banquet food in a cartoon, almost, isn't it? It's like big prawns hanging over the edge. And you can imagine them eating it in a castle.
So how old were you again?
17, I think. Yeah, 17.
Getting the Freedom Air.
Yeah, it's a good age for
the big old Freedom Air.
Big old Freedom Air.
So is that your starter? Do you want the Freedom Air or just the oysters?
I want the Freedom Air because I want the whole theatre.
You can have the Freedom Air.
That's great. I'm glad. Also, after a very strong start here, your starter is the Freedom Air.
Oh, I'm pleased.
Yeah, it's great.
That would be. Well, that's, I can still taste them now. But to some people, this is an appalling choice. In every way, they'll hate
some people get angry about this.
Probably. People get angry, don't
they? People get angry.
People get angry about Freedom Air. You can't really get angry about Freedom Air. You can't literally like shout, I can't believe you got the Freedom Air. Like, it just doesn't sound angry as soon as you start saying it.
Yeah.
How did your parents feel about you getting the Freedom Air? And same question for Gene and Dennis.
Gene and Dennis were delighted to introduce me to my first Freedom Air. Mum and Dad, imagine saw it as the culmination of, to this point, a lifetime of precocious unbearableness.
Of course he's getting the Freedom Air.
I think they were like, Oh, yeah, I bet, yeah, I bet, yeah, you like that, yeah, I bet you like that, yeah. Don't you? Yeah, it's expensive, that's why.
It's probably their idea if you're the truant from school, let's just get a bit of rebellion in him and get him to be a badass, and then, like, we'll do whatever you want. Can I get the Freedom Air? Can we go to France? I'd like the Freedom Air. What? I'm a bug sag.
You are truanting, you will have a fag.
Could Gene and Dennis come?
What the fuck? Fucking old people!
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Onto your main course.
Well,
I mean, who knows? I mean, this is such a beginning already. So the main.
Now, I mean, I bet everybody says this. Like, one is slightly torn on this one,
yeah,
because there's so many options.
Yes,
but one thing I do remember was having Japanese food in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Combination of things.
Wow.
What lesson were you skipping at this point?
Which particular old couple were you with?
And actually, I've gone to stay with my Auntie June. who lived in Philadelphia or just outside. And I met up with some comedy friends of mine from New York, and they wanted to go to Philadelphia. They wanted to go for dinner, rather, to this Japanese restaurant. And I like the idea of Japanese food, but I never really had it at this point. It was amazing.
Mm.
And you know what was really amazing? Tiny little amounts, and I'd never felt so full.
Yeah. You have a lot of different small dishes, did you?
I had a lot of different small dishes.
And for your main, is this what you're wanting? Loads of different small dishes.
Yeah, is that cheating?
Lou Sanders did it. We let her.
Lou Sanders did it, but it was all horrible. Everything she picked was horrible. So yeah. I think we've got to let you have it because it sounds like it's going to be actually nice.
Yeah. You want the main course to be quite filling. I think that's what you want, but only because of the name, really. That's my take on it. And I always think, like, I'd love to go to somewhere really, one of those really fashionable, really fancy restaurants that it's hundreds of pounds. But I always think, I don't think my palate is sophisticated enough.
Right.
Like, I think I'd just gobble it all down.
Right.
I'd be like, let's go for a kebab. Like, one of those people who like, oh, you come out there, you're hungry afterwards, have to stop at the kebab shop. And sadly, I think I would be one of those
people. Yeah.
Yeah, not just I'd fight it. But, yeah, like, things like Wagyu beef.
Mm.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. Wagyu.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone goes, oh, Wagyu beef. That's amazing beef.
Yeah.
Just means Japanese beef.
Oh, well, what's the other one that's...
There's Kobe.
Kobe beef.
So Wagyu means it's just Japanese, okay, which I think generally Japanese beef is better anyway.
Yeah.
But then it's the region that it's from is the important thing. So Kobe is the really super expensive one.
Kobe. It was very thin slices of Kobe beef.
Uh-huh.
And it was exquisite. I've never had anything like it.
I've never had it. What does it taste like? It's so different.
Mm. Very fatty, right?
It was so, there were like slithers of it. And I think it was with soy sauce or a combination of soy sauce used in things. It was like, I'd never had anything quite like it. It was just like tender. And because you have so little of it, you have to appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing we miss when we have like such a, I had the word there, I've lost it. A lot of something.
An abundance.
An abundance.
Mm. Yes.
Good one, James. That sometimes the temptations go, well, I've got to get through this. Because as a child, I was always told, you have to finish what's on your plate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're a bad person.
And you're not savouring. Yes. You're not savouring then if you're just getting through it.
So you're just getting, I think, yeah, I remember being like made to get through it. And things like shepherd's pie, which I still hate. Hate it.
What if it was made with Kobe beef?
Then I would delight in it. I would love it.
That was the first, my first, like, cooking class at school.
Kobe beef.
In food tech. Yeah, it was Kobe beef.
Wow, Kettering's really gone downhill.
No, it was shepherd's pie, but it was ready meal shepherd's pie.
What?
So the first lesson was that we had to bring in a ready meal and make it.
That was so, that was when you said me and Tom said, what, exactly the same time? And they looked at each other and looked away.
Perfect. So good. What a waste for this probably, audio.
Yeah, probably like a film. I felt like I was in a scene in a film.
It was so good what we just did.
Yeah.
So,
looking at me, what? Ice popping, both to each other, both back at me again.
I've read you had to bring in a ready meal.
Yeah, so I bought.
Oh my
I
had to, God.
I bought in a shepherd's pie ready meal, and they showed me how to cook that in the oven or the microwave.
Did you all have to bring in shepherd's pie, or did you have to just bring in any ready meal?
We all had to choose the ready meal, but I remember I chose shepherd's pie, and it was the saltiest thing I'd ever eaten at that point. It was so salty.
Why was this what people so.
My parents asked the same question when we were doing it. They were like,
your parents who are teachers themselves.
Yeah, who are teachers themselves. Like, what is going on? Look, why are you learning to teach this?
I just want to let people know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having a ready meal if that's what you've got time for, if that's, you know, the sort of food that you want to have. Totally
sure. This program isn't about being a foodie snob.
No, not at all. Like, if you want a ready meal, fine. You can have a lovely ready meal, right? But in terms of food tech, surely the thing you start with is preparing a basic meal before.
Yeah. The thing is preparing a turbot, right? Start the emperor of the sea.
It's like, that's normally what it is. But yeah, that was it. It's that's one of the most disgusting worrying. Things I've ever eaten as well.
I mean, that's what I mean, though. Like, Jamie Oliver really took it as a passion project. But when he went around, like, school canteens and was basically like, maybe we shouldn't feed our children, like, the what falls on the floor of an abattoir.
Yeah.
And all these people are like, how dare you try and tell us what to do, how to bring up our kids. And he was like, I'm not. I'm just saying it would be healthier if maybe you just made a tomato sauce with some wholemeal pasta. Ah, get out, get out. Our kids love turkey guts.
So you've got this Japanese selection. Wagyu beef.
Wagyu beef, tempura vegetables, I believe there was some black cod there as well.
Oh, black cod. Miso black cod?
Yes.
I still can't hear people say miso.
Without thinking.
Without thinking they're saying about themselves. They're referring to what they are. I will never be able to get it out of my head. I'd like to get it out of my head.
Miso black cod. I think I've only had miso black cod once, and it's incredible.
It's quite, do you know what though, because we were sharing, it was quite awkward, there were a few of us around the table, it's quite awkward to go in for like a slice of it, because it can sometimes crumble, and then you're embarrassed, and
that's
you go back
bad.
For the
you
second
don't want
bit.
To be the crumbler.
Oh, getting something like some like fish, some flaky fish with some chopsticks is pretty
difficult,
tense and precarious, it's quite easy, especially if it's far away, but the picture you're painting now, of reaching across the table to get the flaky fish, and you've got to bring it back to the plate. That's very, very stressful.
Also, I think we had some sort of salad which had some sort of delicious leaf in it.
Moving straight on from me, not even indulging me.
The salad, was it like a seaweed? Was there seaweed in it?
No, it was like a herb in it. And I think something like yuzu, but it wasn't yuzu. It was, it had like a citrusy flavour though, this herb. It was wonderful.
It sounds wonderful.
I would also like to say other options I considered for this were... When
honourable munchions, we call those.
Please don't cut out that pause.
Like you were doing a shit.
Yeah, it was like you suddenly had a full poo.
Actually, just shit myself.
Just about to come out. Oh. Stopped. And then it's like,
one moment, please.
His face just like tensed and.
No. Honourable mentions by proxy. I was going to say, when I went to Germany and I did some gigs, did you ever do those gigs in Munich?
No.
Munich? No.
Really fun. They took us out afterwards and we had steak and we had mac. You know when you're hungry and it's late at night and it's freezing cold outside? We had steak, which was amazingly cooked. They called it noodles, but to my mind it reminded me of macaroni cheese. And then pork knuckle. Have you ever had pork knuckle like they do in Germany?
I've had pork knuckle.
It is like roast pork but with loads of salt on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And with really stodgy mashed potato and then some sort of gravy. And I don't normally like gravy.
Uh-huh.
But that meal was one of my favourite mains, and I still think about that. The other one is when it was my dad's birthday, and we seldom went out to restaurants or for takeaways because they were seen as indulgent, but we would often get the takeaway menu, the takeaway things from Marks & Spencer's food hall. And I remember when we first had crispy duck.
Yes.
And that blew my probably 9-year-old mind.
Oh, I think I was exactly the same the first time. I think crispy duck still blows my mind. Yeah. Every time I have it.
Yeah.
It's such a treat. It still feels like a treat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There are some foods where the first time you have them, no matter who you are, it is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Crispy duck is absolutely one of them. I mean, everyone, the first time they had crispy duck was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'd say fried chicken, the first time you have it.
Yeah.
First time I had KFC.
I was going to say KFC.
So the first time I had fried chicken, I was like, this is insane. Yeah. Like, this is the best food I have ever had.
Did you have it quite recently?
No, in terms of like, do you mean?
I only had it within the last 5 years. I had KFC
for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh no, I had it for the first time.
I think I'm the same as you, Tom. I think KFC was never an option.
It wasn't
when I was young. No one was like going, oh, we'll go and get some fast food. We'll go to KFC.
It was McDonald's or Burger King.
McDonald's or Burger King. Yeah, KFC was always considered the absolute no go. I think.
Yeah, I don't.
But now there's posh fried chicken.
Yeah. Well, like,
mind-blowingly good fried chicken.
I remember having. I'm a bit obsessed with chicken wings, and I love buffalo chicken wings so much. And also I love like Korean flavoured.
Yeah, Korean chicken wings.
I don't know quite what the flavourings are in it, but it's wonderful.
With like a really thick red sauce on it.
Yeah.
I think it's based, like the main bit of the sauce is gochujang, which is like the fermented chilli paste.
Oh.
It's so good. It's so good.
I've not been to Korea, but I hope to go one day.
Side dish.
Side dish. Carrot balls. I was in Las Vegas and I nearly
did a joke about carrot balls being my nickname. Didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got in a bit quick then, sorry.
People call me Ginger and stuff or whatever online, and I thought...
I was going to do a joke about a naked snowman, so carry on.
Why do people call you Ginger? You're not Ginger.
I think I am. I think a lot of the time under studio or stage lighting, I look like
I am. Which is your natural home.
Yes, it's where I reside. And so people think that I'm Ginger. And then I don't... When Ginger people especially tweet me being like, could you see one of our own on TV? I don't want to be a party pooper.
Oh, yeah, that's sad if people think that.
Scotsman wrote an article about me once and the headline was Ginger Ambition.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense. It's just not a thing, is it?
What was the expression they were...
Ginger ambition.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognise that.
What, the little laugh?
No, I didn't even recognise the fact that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Ginger... Yeah, what?
I don't even know what it's blonde, a play on.
Naked ambition.
Right.
Also, you're not... I wouldn't be like James Acaster, very ambitious.
No?
No?
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. The article isn't even about that. It's not even like...
Yeah.
It's not me saying I'm ambitious or things
Ginger.
I want to achieve.
Yeah.
Ginger nut might be fun if you were really quirky. Yeah, if you were really like...
Yeah, call me that if you want. No. Or, Ginger ambition.
Lol Weasley, that makes as much sense.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one. I would have read that article.
you would have liked that. Ginger ambition, though. That's what I said.
But carrot balls. Mm. I've never had carrots that were like this. They were like short and fat. And they were cooked in a lot of butter. And they were delicious. And it was served in, I think it's called the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas. Mm. Uh-huh. And they were just wonderful. I never, I never got so excited. I think they were roasted in butter. Right. So they were carrots that I'd like. They had, they've tasted of carrot in a way that I hadn't experienced before.
Are they, I'm trying to work out, are they just like naturally fat, ball-like carrots?
I think
carrots?
So. I think they're like some sort of organic.
They're not like melon balls.
No, they were not delivered with a baller.
No, no. No.
My mum and dad had a melon baller, which on the other end was a butter thing for making butter curls. Never saw it used, though. Never saw it used.
No. I was going to say, you grew up in a B&B.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of thing I would have loved to have used. Yeah. But, no.
I bet you'd run a great B&B.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You'd definitely win, like, celebrity four in a bed.
I would be very, like, stressful for the guests, though, if they didn't.
Do you think?
That I'd want them to behave exactly as I wanted them to behave. Yeah, I'd let them know about it. No. Don't sit there, please.
Right, you haven't bitten that. It's alive in your stomach.
I don't know why you don't. Why you don't eat your breakfast oysters properly?
Why were you in Las Vegas? Were you just on holiday?
Just on a holiday.
On a little holiday to Las Vegas.
Have you been?
No.
It's great.
I'd really like to go.
Las Vegas on a holiday. Yeah. I wouldn't.
I'm full of surprises.
Yeah.
That's the least of my surprises.
Normally, and what did what did Gene and Dennis think of the carrot balls?
Gene and Dennis. I went with a friend of mine. And we were both delighted because we never had carrots like it.
They do sound nice.
Because I think, like, boiled carrots makes me feel sad. Makes
uh-huh.
me feel,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, my mum will sometimes do boiled carrots on a Sunday lunch. And I'm always like, no, I don't want them. And I don't understand why we can't have roasted carrots.
What do you say to her when she gives you the carrot?
No, I don't want them.
Why am I finding all of your reactions so funny, Tom?
I don't know. I don't know.
So these, I'm not clear what these are. These carrot balls.
They're just fat carrots, right?
They're just fat carrots. I've never seen anything like them, so, I mean, they will be impossible to imagine. But they were, they were sort of carrots that were, maybe I'm doing with my hand. What is that? I don't know what that is. That like 10 like, centimetres?
Was it 3 inches?
Mm.
Right. He's a lad.
That's what you think, is it?
That's why you get called a lad, mate.
Is that why? Because I'm always going in.
You're always making those kind of jokes.
Measurements of carrots. And
roasted in butter.
Roasted in butter somehow. But they've got burny bits. Burnt bits are the best.
Yes.
They?
I love burny bits.
I love them.
Burny bits is
good
one of my
day
characters.
When we all realised that actually burnt stuff tastes great and it's not.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Bad. The other honourable Munchausen by proxy is... I'm referencing Munchausen by proxy, but I just realised, what is that? Is that something really
similar? That's what you're saying when you say by proxy. I get it now.
But what is
Munchausen's by proxy is a psychological disorder where...
glad I brought that
quite
up.
Quite often, I think... So parents will take in their children and say to the hospital and say they're really ill, but constantly... And they're not ill. But they've just got this issue that they're sort of putting through their children. So they have a proxy.
Oh, that's the proxy.
Yeah. Glad. It happens on Casualty all the time. And I remember because my mum used to be a nurse and we'd watch Casualty every week. And then she diagnosed things before they got diagnosed in the script.
That's kind of fun.
So she'd be like, Munchausen's by proxy.
First scene. Wow.
Yeah.
Was she like that with 999 as well?
Yeah, exactly like that with 999. She's like... He's got a snooker key through his head.
Yeah. Munchausen by proxy.
Munchausen by proxy. Now go to bed, Ed. You're ill.
You're go sick. To Ed. I'm going to take you to the hospital in the morning. So that. The other one I was going to say is when I was on holiday in Crete this year, my friend took me to a restaurant in the mountains. We were overlooking the sea. It was amazing.
Yes.
And we had it to ourselves. No one else was there. We ordered two side dishes. One was I don't know if it's Greek or Cretan, but it was hotta, which I, as I understand is sort of a green, like a sort of cabbage. Mm. But then they serve it with lemon juice and olive oil, loads of salt.
Ooh. Mm.
Very nice. Mm. But then we had mushrooms, which had been barbecued, covered in lemon juice, olive oil, and salt. There's a theme. The burniness of these oyster mushrooms, which have been splayed on the barbecue, cooked through, covered in these ingredients, again, was probably... Well, actually, yeah, I think actually those mushrooms probably beat the carrot balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
probably one of the nicest things
I've ever had. Do you want to change it to the mushrooms?
Yeah, I do want to change it to the mushrooms.
With the mushrooms sound really good.
And where did you have them again?
Crete.
Crete. Can't Crete mushrooms.
Thank you. Whenever I say Crete, a bell goes off. I think your food tech class is happening in there.
To drink, sir?
I think I would like... Oh, where was I when I had this? It was the first time I'd had a nice red wine.
Mm.
And I think it was a New Zealand Malbec, if that's a thing. And I remember it being quite extraordinary. And I don't know much about wine, really, but I like expensive ones. And this was my favourite, most expensive one. It sort of had this kind of, like, almost smoked taste about it, this sort of woody taste, which probably is quite repulsive to some people. But I really liked it, and I'd never had anything like that. You know, it doesn't have that harshness to it. And I do like wine. I like maybe 1 to 2 glasses of wine. I sometimes have more than that, and I always regret it.
Oh, I never do. I never regret it.
Ed loves having a whole bottle of wine to himself.
Do you, Ed?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh,
get
yeah.
Get your hands on my bottle, that's what I say.
Oh, yeah. Like that, is it? Where? What sort of wines do you like?
Oh, I'm trying all different types at the moment. I sort of, again, I don't know much about it, but I quite enjoy at the moment. I'll reach for an Italian, maybe like a Barolo
or something.
Sorry. I've got to leave gaps for the innuendo.
Yeah,
a Barolo or something like that.
Well, that's her name, is it? Lovely lads. No wonder they call me lads. Such a lad. Is that very heavy?
Quite heavy, quite fruity.
Ooh.
Dark and fruity.
Ooh.
Go on.
I like a nice Syrah.
You missed it. You missed it. Absolutely. I said dark and fruity.
Oh, that's what they call me in the Scotsman.
It'll be, as accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark and fruity.
Yeah, so some sort of red wine. Like, whenever I have a hangover, which is not so often, but whenever I do, I always think, I've got to never drink again. I've got to be somebody who doesn't drink. And then I get offered a glass of red wine, and then I go, but I couldn't give you up. And maybe that's not ideal.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, have you always been into wine? Like, or has it been
a
recent thing?
A small child.
Well, to be honest, Tom, you're the only person on this podcast I would have to ask that to.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
I can imagine you truanting from school with a glass of red.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I had to go down to my local wine tasting. I remember liking black coffee as a child, so I think it started there, the sort of, like, not afraid of kind of quite adult flavours.
That's really funny that you like black coffee as a child. Now I'm imagining you as a little, like, PI.
You're black coffee. Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
Oh, yeah. No one can speak to me until I've had my coffee. Yeah.
Tom, you're 4.
I know. Yeah, that's the worst of it.
Are you a pudding boy?
I mean, I have been, yeah.
You have been?
Well, I feel like this is the most difficult course for me.
Oh, right, okay.
Because of being involved with programmes that centre around puddings and desserts.
Of course,
desserts
yeah.
You are, for people who don't know, which
you should. They
would
should be ashamed of themselves.
Idiots if they don't. Yeah. But you are deeply embroiled in the Great British Bake Off.
Well, in that... at the moment I'm co-hosting a Bake Off with the Professionals with my friend Liam Charles, and also I have been doing some things for an Extra Slice, which is part of the Great British Bake Off franchise.
I was on an episode of that with you.
Indeed you were, James.
The Vegan Week.
That was a very interesting week.
I thought I was on my best behaviour.
I was not.
I got a tweet. So you were saying that sometimes maybe people get angry at you.
Yeah.
Online for being mean about the cakes, because you're mean about the cakes, aren't
you?
Yeah,
sometimes they can be.
Sometimes you're lightheartedly mean about the cakes. Mm. I wasn't mean about the cakes. I thought I'd been quite a nice boy. Someone tweeted at me saying, my mum says you were incredibly rude on Great British Bake Off, Extra Slice, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Wow.
And I was normally I don't respond to tweets like that.
But there's nothing worse than being told my mum says.
Yeah, I was in quite a cheeky mood. So I replied saying, your mum is total garbage.
Oh, how did that go?
She replied to me. So she replied to me saying, you just proved her point. That's so rude, and you should know better because my mum says you should know better because you're middle aged and you should know better.
Well, so, that is a slam from that is yeah. shots fired from the mum yeah. there.
So you should really know better one. As a middle aged ginger man.
Yeah. yeah.
So wow. to that one, I replied. I said,
"Oh, it went on.
How old does your garbage mum think I am?" And so this went on for a long time. And she'd keep on sending me stuff going, this is exactly what she's talking about. This is so rude of you. And then at one point, I just sent her a GIF of a bin lorry that was just had the bin attached to it and was like wildly flinging rubbish across the street. I just sent her that at God. One point.
Yeah.
And then it all culminated in her eventually sending me a poorly photoshopped picture. It was the top half of the person's body was my body, me from the waist up.
Yeah.
The bottom half, she'd just photoshopped an old man on a Zimmer frame, but just got legs and a Zimmer frame with hands on. So it looked like my legs, I had a Zimmer frame. Right. Then she'd done a speech bubble coming out of my mouth and she'd written, my name is Old Man Acaster and I've never learnt manners and I've wasted my life.
Wow.
So that's what happened when I went on Extra Slice.
That is quite an extreme experience. I don't know if all of the guests have that.
Now, I've never been on Extra Slice, Tom.
Okay.
And if there's a worry that because I'm a type 1 diabetic, I wouldn't enjoy my time on the show or I wouldn't have anything to add, no. I just want to put everyone's minds at ease that that's not the case. Okay. If it's because I'm not famous enough, fair cop.
I'm not responsible for the bookings.
Well, you're the closest to the booking team that we've had on the podcast. Yep.
Well, if you're very keen, I would suggest you send in a letter.
Okay, can I have the address? What's the address?
Bake Off and Extra Slice.
Yes.
47.
Yes.
Cake Street. Kettering, because it sounds like catering.
Yeah.
KT.
I thought I got it.
Yeah.
KT 99.
Yes.
FLK.
Okay.
FLK for flaky.
Yeah.
Well, now everyone's going to send in a letter who's heard this, and I'm never going to get on.
You're never going to hear the end of it. So I have had a lot of cakes,
yes.
And I've had a lot of desserts off the back of Bake Off for the Professionals.
Yes.
Not off the back of. That suggested I was rummaging through the bin.
Sure.
Or that they do it like sort of Japanese sushi style where someone lies down and you all eat off their bodies.
Oh, like Samantha did in Sex and the City.
Yes.
I don't expect you to get that reference, Ed.
I do, I've seen it.
Have you?
I've seen Sex and the City before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Which one would you be?
Oh, none of them. I think they're all awful.
Not the expensive.
Monica.
Okay. Good answers, both. So I would say, still, my favourite thing is some sort of pastry tart with some sort of custard inside. Mm. Preferably like a lemony custard. I like it to be gooey. And I like the pastry to be crispy.
A lemon custard tart or like a tart au citron?
One might call it a tart au citron. But was I there with you, James, when I had a disappointing one?
I think so. I think I might have seen you eat a disappointing tart au citron.
I sent it back.
Yes.
I sent it back. Sent it back. Yeah. I sent it back. Because pastry, a short crust pastry should be short, should be crispy, should have a crunch to it almost.
Yes.
And this one had a soft, doughy, undercooked, disappointing texture, and I sent it straight back.
Mm. Yes. Was this on Bake Off the Professional?
No, this was in real life with James Acaster.
Whereabouts were you?
In Westfield College years. I sent them an email.
Oh, it was in the Looch.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I was there. I sent an email almost on the spot.
Yes.
I got a response. Things went back to normal from there.
Did they send you any vouchers or anything? Or just
No, I would have declined them. I do not agree with... just because I'm improving the world doesn't mean I have to get paid for it.
Right, okay.
Good slogan.
A tart au citron then for dessert.
Yes, but an excellent one.
An excellent tart au citron.
Where's the best one? We've got to get this in. Because I don't want it getting... We've never had an item sent back in this dream restaurant, and I don't want to get this wrong with the tart au citron.
You know what? I think when Paul's Patisserie first opened in London...
Yes. And you mean just the patisserie that's just called Paul's? You're not talking about your friend Paul Hollywood?
I've only met him once. So I would not deign to call him a friend. The patisserie Paul's, which at one point rather ubiquitously, is that the right word? It's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
opened in all the stations, I think really compromised the brand. Before that, it had a very traditional Parisian feel about it in its original Covent Garden shop, and I would often walk past it on my way to Charing Cross Station. So, on high days and holidays, I would pop in, spend sometimes in the region of £12 on cake, unheard of in my family. would take home a selection of cakes, one of which was Tarte au Citron. I think it was the first time I had it. I really enjoyed it.
So that one?
The Paul's Tarte.
You will also notice that is another word where I dropped the N.
Ah.
Citron.
Tarte au Citron.
In the restaurant.
In the restaurant.
Yeah. When I was drawn.
OG Paul's Tarte au Citron.
OG?
Original gangster. Correct. The OG Paul's.
Correct.
Yes.
Original gangster Paul's.
Yeah.
Tarte au Citron. Correct.
With a sour sort of yogurt with it or something, or like a spoonful of something.
Tommy's now looking at Ed like he's a piece of shit.
Cream, cream.
Really?
Any cream? Any cream, Tom? Any cream?
I guess it could be permissible to have some sort of cream, or maybe a cream for each.
That's what I meant. I think I meant creme fraiche.
However, I do not care for it. I'm a purist.
Well, you don't have to have it. It's your dream restaurant. We wouldn't bring you some creme fraiche and then you have to scrape it off. There's
I've
no scraping.
Had that. Well, I've had to scrape, yeah.
There's no scraping in the dream restaurant.
I don't like it. I don't really like cream, actually.
No.
I find it very, a bit like milk. I just, why would you put that on a thing? If it's sweetened and given a texture. I'm all about the texture.
Oh, I don't like the pouring cream on stuff.
I don't like strawberries. The way people bang on about strawberries and cream.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. No one really loves strawberries and cream, do they?
No.
I think it's like a punishment.
It's like pouring milk on it. It's like eating a bowl of cereal.
Yeah. Oh, if you've got a lovely tart or a cheesecake or something, you pour a jug of cream on it.
Oh!
It just looks so stupid.
Stupid. It actually does look stupid.
Yeah. It looks stupid, doesn't it?
Mm.
You do that. You pour it over and you think, that's going to be soggy. You're sogging up the base. That's all you're doing.
That's all you're
all
doing.
All going to go onto the base. Sog the base up.
Sog the base.
Yeah. It's all you're doing.
Yeah.
I'd like some squirt. I'd take squirty cream any day over that.
Get have off. You ever done
or
that?
Or a big dollar between.
What about if you became, have you ever thought like, as what, Ed?
Squirty cream? What are you talking about?
Straight in your mouth.
It's disgusting. Squirty cream's absolutely disgusting.
I'd take it over pouring cream, right, Tom?
I would.
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Sometimes with a glacé cherry popped in the top.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened there, but I love it. James, read him his order.
Tom.
This is the bill, is it?
Yeah. No, you have to pay. We actually give you the food, but you do have to pay for it.
Okay.
You would like some sparkling water to start. Mm. You would like some crispy sourdough bread as your bread. Starter, you would like Freedom Air.
Thank you.
Freedom Air. Thank you. From Trinidad.
Yeah.
With Gina Denis. May, you would like some Japanese small plates from Philadelphia.
Yes.
Side, you would like some mushrooms from Crete.
Yes.
You would like an NZ Malbec.
Sure.
And dessert, you would like a Tarte au Citron from Paul's.
Correct.
That's delicious.
That's a good meal.
Do you feel good about that? Hearing it read back to you?
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks, should I have gone for something, you know, slightly meatier in the main course to sort of give you that feeling of like, oh, I feel sick, I wish I'd had it all.
Which is what you really want from a good meal, isn't it?
It's all I want from a really posh meal. Yeah. But actually, I think there's something nice about just having just the right amount.
I think you could have that as a lunch and then get on with your day.
That's it, isn't it? As they would, I imagine, in France.
Mm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Not
you
too many carbs.
You could go back to school for afternoon lessons.
Yeah. I'd be back and I'd be raring to go.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the menu of Tom Allen.
Fancy.
Very fancy. I loved all the stories connected with it. The story of truanting with an elderly couple will probably go down in off menu history as the best reason for picking a starter.
The Freedom Air. I really loved the fact that you chose that.
Yeah.
And that was the story behind it. That's Tom Allen at his most rebellious.
Also, picking I didn't say this at the time. Freedom Air, right, you would want to eat that near the sea. And I thought, oh, he's done that. He's not. He's eating it next to like the channel. It doesn't feel like... What, they're pulling out the channel?
Yeah, that's very disgusting.
Yeah.
Very disgusting, the old fish that they've scooped up there. A Tarte au Citron at the end, a glass of red wine.
Mm.
Very fancy. The Japanese small plates. What was the beef?
Wagyu beef.
Was it even
from Kobe?
From Kobe. Oh.
Fancy meal, fancy guy.
Yeah.
Lovely gentleman, excellent comedian, wonderful presenter.
If you want to see more of him, oh, Tom's always on tour, he's always doing gigs, but also you can watch Bake Off the Professionals, Extra Slice, depending on what's currently on TV when you're listening to this podcast.
He did an episode of your show Hypothetical as well, didn't he, James?
He was absolutely excellent on Hypothetical. He was on episode one, that's how good he was. We opened the whole series with him. It was very funny, so you can watch that on UK TV Play.
You can come and see me on tour, I'd imagine, if you go onto edgamble.co.uk/gigs. Check out my social media at edgamblecomedy and also the Off Menu social media at Off Menu Official on Twitter and Insta, baby.
Insta, baby.
You don't have Insta? You're not an Insta man?
No, not an Insta man. But I can still say Insta, baby, with the best of them.
You can indeed. What are you up to at the moment, James?
Probably touring and, Hypotheticals on UK TV Play.
See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.